Good morning and welcome to Neocony View, that high spot along the Oregon coast where, well, from our vantage point, we can see pretty much all of Tillamook County. And this morning we are talking with the director of the Tillamook County Emergency Management Agency, Gordon McCraw. Great pleasure for you to be with us.
Good morning. Thanks a lot.
Good morning. Before we get into emergencies and managing and all that, you were talking about your southern accent before we went on. Where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from Virginia, but I spent the last couple of lifetimes, it seems like, down in Louisiana. I guess what I affectionately call one of your Katrina refugees. I was 20 years in the Navy, 10 years air traffic control, 10 years as a weatherman, and ended up retiring out of the air station there in New Orleans and went into police work, which I did until the year after Katrina. After I got the house put back in order, we packed up the stuff inside and moved out west to the disaster-free county of Tillamook.
Was it really, was Katrina kind of a wake-up call for you to say, I'm not sure this is a place I want to live for the next 10 years?
Well, it was a motivator. Mm-hmm. Having spent, again, 20 years in the Navy, I managed to be in some pretty interesting spots. Like, I was in California in the Bay Area in 1989, stationed at NAS Alameda. And for those that might recall, in 1989, the game there, the baseball game, ended up getting interrupted by a little earthquake that we had there. And I left there the month after the earthquake and went to Louisiana and managed to hang out there through so many hurricanes I can't remember. But yeah, Katrina might be the straw that broke the camel's back.
So I'm getting a little of a sense that natural disasters seem to follow you around.
I don't know if I go to them or they come to me, but either way, I don't like it.
So there you are. You're out here managing emergencies. What's been the biggest one, most memorable one that's hit you so far? As if I didn't know the answer already.
Well, I got here in 06, and so I got to experience from the chair, so to speak, watching the 06 flooding event that they had here. And of course, having been through a disaster or two, I saw some things that might could be improved on. And so by the time December of 07 rolled around, I was already working part-time in emergency management, part-time on the road as a deputy. But I was here for the December 07 storm, actually doing emergency management. And that was a nationally declared disaster. And then in 08, another interesting year. In November, we had a flood. December, we had the big snowstorm. And then in January, I think like the second day of January, we had a flooding event here in Tillamook. And then the 7th, we had another flooding event in January. So it's been quite active. I didn't know at the time. And, of course, I was laughing because having the weather background, I had to give a weather briefing in the 07 storm, and I got up and said, well, how ironic is it that the guy that was run out of Louisiana for hurricanes is briefing Oregon's first hurricane wind storm warning. Hurricane force wind storm, anyway.
You know, with an earthquake or certainly with an earthquake, but with, let's say, an approaching hurricane, you kind of know that maybe an emergency is in your future. But at what point here with, generally speaking, more benign weather, when do you know when things are just not just an inconvenience but a real emergency?
Well, of course, we get the watches and the warnings. The watches come out at least 24, 48 hours before the incident actually occurs, and then as it gets closer, they issue a warning for the area. And for instance, the storms that we just had, they were giving us warnings that they might have high winds gusting up to 70 miles an hour. If I was still in Louisiana, that might be a concern, but I've since grown accustomed to 70 mile an hour winds along the Oregon coast. Once it gets above 100, then it kind of gets our attention and we start preparing for it. We now have an incident command team to manage the incidences in Tillamook County, and it's become a very useful tool and has helped us greatly in organizing the unorganizable systems that come through, such as the December 07 storm. So, you know, we're watching it, and as it gets closer, if it looks like it's something that we actually need to activate the incident command team, we meet, talk about it, decide what the manning levels are going to be, and then prepare for the incident and tailor it down or gear it up further as needed.
And what kind of preparation is that exactly? Walk us through the steps.
Well, again, we meet, discuss what agencies need to be there initially. So we have what we call an incident command team light, where just a few individuals will work over to 911 center, which is where we stage at and operate from during a disaster period or a high wind warning event, something of that nature. And during that period, we would coordinate with PUD or with Public Works or to other organizations within the county that would help manage the storm or disaster, whatever the case might be. Work with the city officials if it's a local North Main flooding event or something of that nature. If it looks like it's going to be of higher disaster type of 07, then we'll actually have a full team over there that could at some point grow as high as 20 or 30 people doing a typical NIMS compliant organization, where you have an operations section, a logistics section, a planning section, and we're all there trying to again manage the storm to make it as I guess we'll say doable or manageable as the county possibly can, to have the minimal impact as we could possibly get out of a situation like that.
To paraphrase Donald Rumsfeld with the known knowns and the known unknowns, I'm sure there's plenty of those. I mean, for example, the 07, I don't think any one of us would have predicted, or maybe you and your colleagues did, that that power would have been out for as long as it was for so many people.
Well, the power going out, I've learned, is a common event for the Tillamook area. We've got a line that comes in from the north that feeds the north part of the county. We have a line that comes in Highway 6 that feeds the town itself and part of the north and south county area. And then there's a line that comes in from the Lincoln City area that feeds the south county. Now, obviously, in a 07 storm where you had hurricane force winds, it's not uncommon to have one or the other areas affected. But with a storm of that magnitude, it affected all three lines coming in, and yeah, it knocked out that. The thing that was different about that storm that no one could have foreseen was the fact that it broke the main fiber optic line. It runs between us and Sheraton, which is where the main switch is, and so we had no telephone, cell phones, all those things went out. And fortunately for us, we were ahead of the game. We had an amateur radio group that was in the 911 center at the command center that picked up the communications efforts almost seamlessly when the phone systems went out.
Yeah, I've really noticed in the last few years an awful lot more interest in amateur radio and urging people to get their tickets and to participate.
Well, the fact of the matter is, they normally, and I've been involved with ham radio myself for a number of years and worked a few disasters down in Louisiana through ham radio. Normally they sit in the background. You don't hear too much of them, see too much of them. But obviously it was proven greatly in the 07 storm that when that incident happens that you lose your communications, they provide a very unique and needed service.
We are talking this morning with Gordon McCraw. He's the director of Tillamook County Emergency Management. And, well, that 07 seems to be the touchstone for many people, looking back at major events. What did you learn from that one?
Well, even the state learned, again, that the amateur radio community is a vital link or tool in the old tool chest. It's interesting to note that after the 07 storm, the governor actually dedicated $250,000 to buy amateur equipment that you can see.
I'm looking over your shoulder envying some of the nice toys you've got.
They are quite nice. That system actually will do internet using ham radio. What it does is you plug in an email to a Outlook type environment, and it ships it via ham radio outside of the area via radio waves into a different computer that is in an area that still has internet access, and then it drops in and goes its normal course that way, and it receives and will transmit email traffic that way. And the governor happened to have seen it in the EOC in Salem during the event and was so impressed by it that he charged them with the duties of getting a unit for each county in the state. So now the entire state has a similar system to the one that you see over my shoulder. And that was one of the major lessons. Of course, it was a new event for me. I was the new emergency manager on the street, and so it was all a learning experience for me.
What about us? One thing many of us learned is, if power is going to go out and you're going to be maybe not as mobile as you might like, you better have some things around the house to keep yourself going for at least a few days.
I'm very impressed by the county and how it reacted to the storm, or I should say after the storm. For example, one of the problems that we had during Katrina after the event, of course, there was no electricity in all of Southeast Louisiana. You kind of don't understand the full magnitude until you don't have that for a long period of time. It takes gas to drive cars, and that includes your police cars. So during or after the period when Katrina had passed through and we were still without electricity, and now we were low on fuel after several days and weeks without electricity, we were literally going to the gas stations and hand pumping the fuel out of the tanks with fire trucks standing by in case we sparked a little ignition source there and caused a little bit of a flame. You can imagine, not a good thing at a gas station while you're pumping gas out the unique way that we were. So what Tillamook County did, or at least one of the local vendors, Sheldon Oil, went and put generators in a station in North County, Central County, and South County to help eliminate that. And in 07, when we started losing electricity, you didn't see the lines that, say, north of here, Seaside, those places were experiencing as a result of the power outage. And when you do get one station that has gas, of course, the entire city goes there to try to get fuel, causing a gridlock, so to speak. But we didn't have that in Tillamook County because of the very thing that I say. Generators are obviously an important thing to have after you are without power, especially long-term without power. And so there's been a huge effort in the county in different facilities, both city, county, private industries, to generate a lot of their infrastructure. I kind of laugh at, and I think it was 08 when we were without electricity for a period there. I was talking to Garibaldi. They said they had their building now on generator, and they were still producing the water bills during the period when nobody had electricity.
Speaking of water, that's a good thing to have around as well.
Water's always good. Sometimes we seem to have too much of it here in Tillamook County, especially in the city of Tillamook. But there's a whole gamut of things. If you go to ready.gov, they list what should be in a 72-hour kit. Obviously, humans, you can live longer without food than you can without water. So it's an important element to have. Again, we have to be limited. Around here in Tillamook, we seem to get too much of it sometimes.
We've been talking about the kind of disaster that or emergency that we regularly expect. We know there are going to be storms every year, and there's going to be a certain amount of inconvenience. The one thing that we haven't experienced yet is a major earthquake and maybe a resultant tsunami that comes with that. That's got to be, if not on your mind, that's got to be something that keeps you up at night.
Well, I was at a conference or a meeting yesterday or last night with James Roddy from DGAMI, the Department of DOG, Geology and Mineral Industries. And he was telling us all about the likelihood of a next Cascadia subduction zone earthquake.
Now, that's the close one?
That's the one that's just off the coast of Oregon. And the best way to describe it is just as he did. It's a defining moment. When it happens, it'll be a defining moment, just like Katrina was for Louisiana. You can't say Katrina or you can't say Louisiana now without it bringing up images of either Katrina if you say Louisiana or Louisiana if you say Katrina, you know. And that would be a defining moment for the entire West Coast, we believe, that it would be the next major U.S. disaster that we would talk about for years, just as we have 9/11 or Katrina. So It is something that we need to consider. Oregonians haven't really had to or haven't thought about it a great deal in the past. There are some areas that experience frequent earthquakes, but to have something, you know, again, I was in Alameda, California in 89 during the earthquake there, that they keep telling me only lasted 15 seconds. Having been in it, you have a very hard time convincing me that it was only 15 seconds. It takes me 15 minutes at least to tell you what went on in that 15 seconds. So I'm having a very difficult time wrapping my brain cells around an earthquake that could last somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes, and one of a magnitude that makes the one in San Francisco look like just a tremor. This thing would be above a 9.0, and again, it would last for somewhere between 5 and 10 minutes. And after you're done with that experience, and if you lived on the coast, now you've got about 20 minutes before a tsunami comes along and causes you even more destruction. So
how high might that water be?
It could be, we're guessing, anywhere from 50 feet. They're looking at some new modeling up in the Seaside area that said that the run-up could go as far as 100 feet. So Dagami is coming out with new mappings that's looking at both the seafloor and the shoreline to help get a better understanding, and so the inundation zone maps will be changing in the future, near future, I might add, near being in the next several years. Some might be better, but I suspect that there'll be a great deal of them that show increased land mass area for the inundation zone.
Well, for many people, there's a hill that they can get a higher ground, but for many people, there's not. And what's the likely scenario if you know you've got 15, 20 minutes before a wall of water is going to hit and you're in a flat area, just get as far inland as possible?
Well, there are things, yeah, you want to get as far inland as possible because the tsunami is a wave of energy. And everything that it hits, every, of course, tree or house or whatever the obstacle is that hits it or it hits, it absorbs some of that energy. So it can only go in so far, they estimate about a mile inland if it was on flat terrain. Otherwise, a tsunami hitting the West Coast would just keep going until it hit the East Coast, right? But they're looking at some new things like vertical evacuation. In the Seaside and Northwood, they're actually considering some test cases. I don't like the term test case. We're going to build a vertical shelter and wait for the next tsunami to hit it to see if it works. It doesn't seem like I'm not volunteering, I can tell you that.
And I understand getting in your car is a bad idea.
Well, you're going to get in your car, and then you're going to go where? You got to remember that, again, you just experienced an earthquake of above a 9.0 for 5 to 10 minutes. ODOT, we did a statewide exercise last year, Cascadia Apparel. ODOT took a realistic look at all the bridges in Tillamook County and concluded that there's probably none that would survive that earthquake. I saw what the earthquake, which would be much smaller than the Cascadia earthquake, I saw the one in San Francisco, what it did to some of the roads. You remember the overpass that collapsed. There were several other bridges, and of course the LA area has earthquakes all the time, and it injures the structures down there, the roads and etc. But you know, rain and the high wind events that we have cause landslides in our area. 101 is either going to have so much dirt on top of it from a mountain that collapsed on top of it, or it's just going to collapse into the rivers or the ocean, Highway 6 into the rivers. There's not going to be, you might go a half a mile before you hit an area that you're going to have to get out your car and start walking. So it's not going to be a good idea to try to use your car to escape.
And we're going to be, you know, going to be, if when this happens, we would be very, very isolated. Is there a state plan for people to come in and assist you?
The state, again, with Cascadia Apparel, they looked at just such an event and how their response would be. My concern, of course, is that we're talking the coastal community, and I speak realistically, that's one thing I don't beat around the bush. So you may not like to hear it, but Portland and Salem, you know, you're looking at the hierarchy there with the airports and the helicopters all there. You're looking at millions of people in basically everything west of the Cascades is going to be affected. And that, by that, I mean there'll be structures down, bridges down, even in the Portland-Salem area. So they're going to turn around and immediately start helping who's at their elbows there. It's going to take them a while to get to the coast, both because how are they going to get here? The roads are all devastated. The bridges have all collapsed. And there's not a lot of airports like Portland, Salem, McMinnville, all those places that have a lot of airplanes, helicopters, et cetera. There's not a lot of those on the West Coast, so it's going to take a little while. We need to be prepared to be self-sustainable for at least the magic 72-hour mark. And then hopefully by that time, things will have subsided enough and become a little more organized. I'll hope that it's much more organized than what I experienced with Katrina in Louisiana anyway.
Gordon McCraw is our guest, Director of Tillamook County Emergency Management. We are at your office this morning, and makes me think this is where you would be, I take it.
This is actually the backup EOC and 911 center. Like I said before, the incident command team, which we use to manage these events, is actually over to 911 center, and we duplicated the stuff here so that if something did happen to the 911 center, let's say the earthquake did hit and that building collapsed, but this one stayed up, we would still have the capabilities to run a 911 center and an EOC, or we could operate from here and there, whatever the case might be. But
so you're
this is similar.
Confident in these structures then, as well as you can be.
As well as you can be. Yeah.
And generators and.
This is
self-sustaining building.
That's on backup. Obviously, we have a lovely kitchen next door for some of the, and lots of cooks too.
Oh, spoken like somebody from Louisiana. You got to think about the food, right?
Well, you know, it's funny, but I've learned that Oregonians, especially here in the Tillamook area, and there's a lot of good food out there.
And you're going to need it throughout this. These upcoming emergencies to communicate with the public, and I imagine the way you do that is radio. I mean, you tell the local radio stations or have communications back and forth between radio. I know in 2007 I was on the air down here in Tillamook, and we had a lot of back and forth between your office and the radio station.
We're fortunate to have Todd Anderson here, very good speaker that goes around during the events. One of the feedback items that we got in 06, I think it was, maybe in 07, was that people wanted to know what was going on more frequently. So at the time, Van Moe and he got together, and they now have a schedule set that in a disaster, he'll go around to the radio stations, or they can come to him and get the information every 30 minutes or so. Another example is during the recent tsunami. I can't remember the time period now, but it wasn't that long ago we had another tsunami scare. Tsunami watch went out.
Was that the one after the north coast of California?
It ended up being just a matter of inches here in the local area, but we immediately notified the radio stations. Now have a mailing list that I'm able to send out emails to people that have signed up for it, and if you're interested, go to the county website, go to the emergency management section and tap my name and send me your email, and I'll put you on the list. But we get as much information out as rapidly as we can. We have the reverse 911 system.
I got a call last week. It was an automated kind of robocall, and it was your office just testing the system.
We had some issues with it initially, but we think we've ironed them all out. So we do periodically run a test on them just to make sure that it's getting out. We get a report back from it that says it called X number of numbers and it had so many hang-ups, so many answering machines, so many fax machines, and so many was unsuccessful. So we get an idea of if it's working properly or not.
Kind of amazing, actually, with all the things that go on. The phone systems are pretty robust.
Yes. You know, just, again, a small, short story. After Katrina, we were without electricity, without telephones. And about a year later, we still didn't have. I was on the all-in-one cable thing with the phones, and my wife was complaining because we didn't have a house telephone. I said, well, there's three of us in the house, and each of us have a cell phone. So we've got four phones, and you're complaining because one of them doesn't work.
Fair enough. What's coming up in the future? Anything that you feel we should be doing better, or we can do, or we can improve against that which we do not know?
Well, we had a tsunami exercise about a year and a half ago, one of the first things I did when I took over, and it was a full-scale exercise where the citizens actually participated as well. And I had a questionnaire for them when they went to the evacuation site. And one of the examples that I give frequently is, one of the questions was, are you prepared? Do you have a plan? And 50% of the people said they had a plan. 25% of the people said they got a plan as a result of my exercise. So I was really thrilled with that. That meant 75% of the people had a plan. And then I stepped back and went, well, that still meant that 25% of the people that knew about the tsunami, that knew about my exercise, still chose not to get a plan. So you need to think about what you're going to do if there is a disaster of that magnitude, or even a small one. If you haven't got a plan for a small one, how are you going to deal with the big one?
And then, too, there are medical issues. I mean, we've got the hospital in this part of the central part of the county. There's the Reinhardt Clinic in the north part of the county. Some people are going to need medical attention.
These are things that they need to think about beforehand. Again, if there's a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake, you've got 20 minutes to do whatever you're going to do before the wave hits the coast. If you're in that area and you don't have a plan, and I tell people all the time, I came from Katrina, and I'm here to tell you that you've got 20 minutes to decide what to do. Don't call me and ask me what to do, because you've just wasted five of that 20 minutes. You need to have a plan, and when it's time to activate it, you activate it. If you have special needs, you need to consider those before the earthquake and come up with a solution, whether it be to talk to your neighbor, talk to a nearby loved one, do something, and don't try to figure it all out when it happens, because I read something that you're like 65% capable of logically handling the problem in a disaster, as opposed to thinking about it before the disaster.
We've been talking to Gordon McCraw, the director of Tillamook County Emergency Management. It's been a great pleasure talking to you. I think we're going to kind of revisit you every now and then just to pound home some of these important
points. That would be great.
We thank you so much, and thanks for joining us this morning on Neocon eView. I'm Peter Newman. Have a great day.